You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Black Hair in the Big Leagues presents The Salisha Show. My heart is big. It is big this morning because it's not just someone who I saw on stage. It is somebody who I have loved for almost a decade. The show that I got my equity card in, like my intro to like professional theater, she was there. She was there welcoming me into the industry. Okay, here's a little bit about her. She's an actor, a singer, an artist, a mother, a director, a writer, and a producer who has performed at just about every major regional house in the United States, including but not limited to ART, Cal Shakes, Joe's Pub, Hill Barn, Berkeley Rep, Theater Works, just to name a few. Looking at her resume, which I know she doesn't have, that doesn't have everything on it, it's as if once she works at a company, she quickly becomes beloved by the company and will work there again and again and again because they love her. And also, let's see here. I had the pleasure of seeing and feeling her warmth on stage and off the stage when we did Once on This Island together, where she played a heartbreaking and devoted Mama Yearly. And now she is making her Broadway debut in the revival of 1776. Please help me welcome the one, the only, Dawn L. Troop.
Salisha, oh my God, oh my God. I am so happy to be here with you and so pumped that this is your platform because you need several. We need to hear more of you. My God, it's so good to be here. Hi.
I love you so much.
I love you. My God.
It was the way I was sitting in the audience, flipping through the playbill, and was like, whoa, wait. I screamed.
Yes.
I just need you to know that, like, my heart jumped out of my chest as if I were on the stage. I was so happy for you.
Oh my God. And when you sent that note backstage, I was like, I'm running out. Yo, I gotta go. I gotta go downstairs and find some. I'm so glad you let me know you were there.
Yeah, and wait, what's that friend's name who was also, who's with you that night?
Brian Kumar.
From Once on This Island.
Oh my God, wait. That night we also had another?
Yes.
No, we did not.
Yes, she was sitting with you in the balcony. Our friend, literally drawing the biggest blank.
I'm told, Tracy Camp was there?
No, Muller.
Oh, Adrian was home.
Yes. That's right,
Adrian. Oh my God.
Like,
Adrian
was
there that night. I forgot. Yes, sis was in town.
That was so special.
Yeah, that was crazy and perfect because we also got to meet your hubby. Hello.
Oh, imperfect.
In person. Mr. Vice.
Literally, he's so silly. He loves meeting my friends, and he's just so like, oh yeah, he'll say you by name as if you guys have been friends for 10 years.
Well, what was hilarious and so really, really just adorable is I saw him before I saw you. And so I said, I saw his face because of the videos, right, that you've shared and your lovely wedding photos and whatnot. And I said, hey, Mr. Weiss, where's your wife?
Oh my gosh, Dawn.
Yes.
Okay, so wait, we need to catch up about you. So let's, we've got a lot of catching up to do since I last saw you, not from when I saw your show, but from 2014 when I got to meet you. Ooh. Up until your Broadway debut. What's been going on? What's been going on?
My God. So, Celicia, you knew I was teaching then. I was teaching full time and working in theater at night. So my long days, right?
Seriously. TheaterWorks was a full-time job.
TheaterWorks was a full-time job, and I was working a full-time job with an after-school theater program.
Oh my gosh.
So there was that, and I did that for many, 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 many years. Many years while raising my son, you know, being a wifey and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And years and years ago, I'll never forget, Celicia, I need to say this, Mary Bond Davis, who I understudied for my first equity contract, she said to me, after hanging out with me and my boy when he was 5 and whatnot, she said, don't let him stop your dream. He can be a part of it, right? And you're never too old to do this. So this is why I came to New York after Jeremy finished or was in school, in college. That's another reason. I needed to. The dream wasn't done. So 2014.
What? He's already in college?
Oh, Celicia. So Jeremy is grown. He's a sommelier, chef, has his own spice line. He's ridiculous. Celicia, I married him. I officiated the wedding.
Oh my!
And I'm just gonna tell you. You talk about the worst acting job. Now I've had some scares. Oh my God! Just recently, one on Broadway. But anyway.
Uh oh.
But I've had some scares. It was the scariest moment. I was doing this, trying to hold what I wrote for him to give your son away. I was like, Lord, okay, we're gonna do this.
There's a lot of layers there.
Total layers. And he said, Mom, I want you to be the one who gives me away. And I was like, gives you away? Jeremy, you gonna do that to me? Jesus. But love that. Love, like crazy love. So all that to say. I was able to keep going. And since 2014, I started working on a piece with Dave Malloy and Rachel Chavkin at Berkeley Rep, which further pushed me to say, I gotta go. Moby Dick. And that brought me here. We workshopped it at the Public.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for almost 5 years. We workshopped it around New York, then put it up at ART, and have done, oh my God. And we did a concert, Celicia, you would have loved this, at the museum here. The Natural History Museum.
Oh, cool.
Beneath the whale. We sang the songs about the whale beneath the whale. Like the most ridiculous things have happened since I've been here.
Okay.
Just beautiful.
So like, that's, because you're like Bay Area girl.
Bay Area. Yay Area.
Come on.
For real.
So
for real.
How is it? Like, how do you like New York?
I'm kind of really in love with this. Not kind of, but I've always like been back and forth. At one point in another life, I worked in the music industry, so I was back and forth for that.
Yeah.
And now, and at another point, I was modeling, so I was back and forth for that.
Come on, let's go.
But it's always the art, you know, but this has been a place that I've always wanted to return to. And, you know, blessings on blessings. A friend of mine who does really, really well in life, gave me his place because he had a place in New York and in LA, and he's done really well for himself. Gave me his place for 4 months when I first wanted to come. I was like, universe, I need a place to stay. He's like, I'm not there. Nobody's in the apartment. It's in Washington Heights. You can stay. What? So like step after step after step.
Can we give praises to God in Jesus' name?
What? Right? I was like, thank you so much. Yes. Thank you, bruh. Thank you. And he, yay area. He's all yay area. And there's been a lot of Bay Area connections still that I have ties with who will call and say, Dawn is there. Let me hook you up. Brothers Paranormal, another piece that I did off Broadway at Pan Asian, the oldest Asian theater, right? I believe in America.
Oh my gosh.
Directed by Jeff Liu. And he's a dear friend of mine. About Black and Thai relations to mental, just all these different secrets within our communities. Dopeness there. Moby Dick again and again and again. And other shows in between, like new recordings for new shows coming up. Just, it's been insane, Salisha. I'm telling you, blessing upon blessing. And then the regional stuff that's been happening.
So like, to me, because I feel like, oh my goodness. You know, I just got married and he's going to want a gaggle of kids at some point. Which we'll have to deal with that, you know, when it's time. But what I am hearing though is you can keep pursuing your love in life.
You can.
And like doing it. You're doing it.
You really can. And you don't have to, be diminished.
Tell me more.
You don't have to be diminished in any of the roles that you choose, you know, as the woman, as the mother, as the wife, as the artist. If you have the support around you, you really don't. You can be lifted and still be in touch with what it is that your soul needs, your desires are. And I'm really, I think I'm also a soldier because I've taken a lot of hits, but you get up and keep going. And being in America, you know, I'm sorry, being a Black woman in America, we know what it is to take hits. So that part I've had practice, you know, and duck, dive, jab. So fighting for me, Salisha, is so significant. Fighting for me. I've done it for so long for everybody else, you know.
Right? Yes.
So timing is and abundance, I'm not saying no to. I'm not saying no to it.
Wow.
I'm like, come on, Cletus. Come on.
I'm exceedingly happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now you're on Broadway. How did this show come into your life? When did it come into your life?
What's really in, so while I was doing Moby Dick at ART, I auditioned for it.
1776?
1776.
Oh.
And then 2020 happened.
Boo.
Boo. And the producers for that,
I mean, like a big understatement, but we all know what that right? is.
We don't even have to.
We know what that is. Boo.
all the rugs, everybody slipped.
Boo.
Boo. 2020 comes on stage. Boo. But yeah, I auditioned for it then and they were building the cast. It had different producers with it and I got great feedback and it was like, okay, maybe we're going to move forward with this. And then 2020 happened. And you know, the rest of that, 2021 came and I heard back and said, you know, will you come back and audition for us? And I was like, okay. And it was a different team too.
Okay.
They built a new team.
Okay. How do you feel about that? Let's just pause for a second.
Actually, I was excited to see so much diversity. I really was. I was really pumped to see the amount of work that was being put into it, the efforts that they were taking to make sure different groups, literally groups that are not seen
Yeah.
To be working with a Native American actor.
Yeah.
What?
Wow. That's.
Yeah. Right?
Great.
It's like I've now worked with a male Native American actor who's a friend of mine, Matt Kaiser. I've worked with Matt for years, but now this young woman, Brooke Simpson, just amazing. And the team worked to make sure to build this community. And it's really been enlightening and fruitful for what my journey needs to be in this career.
Yeah.
And so I'm picking every fruit I can.
Yeah.
You know, and dropping the ones that I don't need.
Right. And also like speaking as an actor, it's like sometimes it can be you can feel all sorts of different ways having to like re-audition for something that you were already in. I'm like, oh gosh, it's like, do I need to change anything? Like, why are y'all making me do this? Like, obviously we know it ends up good in this scenario, but like,
Salisha,
and after a whole pandemic, like.
Thank you, can you say that? So that's I was just gonna say, because I have a different relationship to the amount of time and space and availability for these auditions on Zoom, you know, on Zoom and in front of the cameras. Since the pandemic, it's like the practice, we didn't fall out of practice. There's just this reckoning, I feel like, that has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like, it's different. Let's see, how do I put this? I do think it's more efficient, but it is like, I can't capture, it's hard for me to capture who I really am when I'm trying to get the perfect take.
Well said, perfectly said, perfectly said. Whereas you can walk into a room.
And be. And also feel the other beings in the room. You can feel the energy in the room.
Oh my God.
You can feed off of the energy behind the table.
Human experiences helps.
You might
yeah.
give something different.
That's
in
exactly
your audition
right.
based on the energy that you're getting.
Right.
If you mess up, you handle it differently because there's a human being at the piano.
It's so true.
Behind the table, whereas if you mess up in tape, you're like, I guess I don't use that tape, or do I? But does it look like I'm not taking it seriously if I send them bloopers?
All of it, and 3 or 4 hours later,
when you ain't got no voice left because you done sang the song 25 times, I'm like,
yes, that there. So that part of it, I love this. I'm blessed. I love when the calls come, and yet I'm reckoning with, ooh, do I have the 5 hours? Okay, for that one.
Don't even get me started on needing a reader. I know when I need a reader, I'm like, listen, Andrew's at my fingertips, but sometimes I need somebody to read for the role of gangster. And I'm like, I know I'm not going to get this one.
Right.
He's doing the best he can. I know.
Oh my God. Oh, and come on now. I saw your commercial. Get it, work it, work it. I saw your face. I was playing a game.
Well, you did?
I saw a commercial and you were doing. It was the sweetest thing, and you were walking up to it. I wish I could think of what the commercial was now, but it's online.
Oh my gosh!
Yes.
We're gonna cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Can I just ask, because you cut your hair, and it has grown back like this.
I just noticed it growing back like a month ago, maybe like a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, wait. Oh, she's back and healthier. Yes. Yeah, I went out to California at Capella Salon. Where was it? Studio City, maybe? Shy Emil. He cut it, and it was crazy. Like, when he cut it, Dawn, it felt like I had more hair when I left. He was like, I can cut a lot or I can cut a little. Either way, you're going to look bomb. What do you want?
Wow.
Ah! I was like, here's my money.
He was right, too. But your hair always looks bomb. You take care of it.
It doesn't always look bomb. Like, I have learned a lot about it during the pandemic and with this podcast, like asking people what they do, how they care for it. But still, like, we know having natural hair is different every day.
It's so true. Salisha, you are one of the reasons why I decided to go natural.
Oh, wait, you have to tell me more.
When we were doing Once on This Island, you remember? I was still like in between perm and putting braids in, and I believe they wigged me. They wigged me for that, so I didn't have to show my hair. But watching your regimen, when you would come in and you were like, this is a wash day, and your hair was just like naturally drying, beautifully drying, and you told me what you were doing. And I was like, oh my God, your hair looks so good. And I tried it, and my hair was like, I love this.
Wait,
and then I just
what?
Kept practicing stuff. Yeah, I mean it. Your regimen started me on this journey 10 years ago.
Wait, that gives me goosebumps, because like I was still not convinced that I was beautiful with my curls back then.
Oh my God, Salisha, you didn't believe it, because we told you all the time.
Like, remember, I begged to be wigged, because I was
I know.
I don't
know.
Want my hair out. It's not gonna look good.
That part, I honestly, because that was so much work on you, but your hair was spot on. Your hair was spot on. Just
done.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And my curls are nurtured and lovely, but it started with you.
Oh,
watching you come in.
Oh my gosh.
Taking the weekend to do your hair, to mask it. I started masking with you.
Yep. Thank you for telling me that.
Amen and amen.
Okay, wait, what did you do during the pandemic when you didn't have
God, everything. I wrote a feature film, a musical. I planted and grew mushrooms, all kinds. And when I say all kinds.
Mushrooms? Oh.
All kinds.
Oh my gosh.
I rode my bike every day around Prospect Park, and I don't care, even in the rain, because it gave me sanity.
I liked doing things in the rain, especially because there weren't a lot of people in the parks in the rain.
That's exactly right. There was nobody. And then something happened later in 2020, and a lot of people started showing up in Prospect Park. They were like, screw this, we're getting out. And everybody started showing up. I was like, all right, we're doing this.
Okay.
All right. I'm here for it. Salisha, I did everything. And I mean it. I painted. I was learning to play guitar. I did gigs online. I know the necessity of my mind being active for me to thrive.
Yeah.
If I sit too long, forget about it. I can easily slump. Woo,
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just was active.
That is so important for mental health.
It completely was. And so the exercise daily.
At the beginning of the pandemic, I lost a lot of weight because I was like, I have a lot of anxiety. And I realized being in New York, we're constantly moving and then going to work and then moving more at work.
Exactly.
And going from that to the couch.
Ooh, nope, not an option. not an option.
It was an option for the first few days, and then I was like, I've lost my mind. What's happening? I can't breathe. And it wasn't COVID.
The same. Oh my God. And I was in such good shape. I did a documentary. I did so much. They came in with masks on.
Wow. What'd you do with your hair?
It's
like you weren't, like you could do whatever you wanted.
I took care of it so beautifully. I loved on my head because I could do it whenever I wanted to. And so I tried different masks. Mm. My hair was in its best state.
See that? At first I wasn't doing anything different. And then I saw, did you watch Madam C.J. Walker on like Netflix?
I did. Alphonse was in that. A friend of mine was in it. I was like,
work.
Yeah. Oh, he's a badass.
I mean, I was in love with Octavia, and she had a line in there, or there was a line in the show that said something about when you have the luxury of time.
Ooh, something like that.
That's just what stuck in my head. And I was like, luxury of time. I'm like, Heffa, you sitting up in this pandemic with nothing to do. This is a good time to take care of your hair. Like, you don't have the excuse of I don't have time.
That's right.
You do.
That's right. Oh my God. Come on, that is so, I like that, it's so true. The luxury of time allows for a lot to happen.
People who have the luxury of time
have a different experience on this planet.
Yeah, yeah.
True, so true.
I mean.
Also, Salisha, and it's really, to hear you talk about that, to take advantage of it and not be sucked up by it is something that is, it's hard.
Yeah, it has to be on purpose. It's not just on accident.
It's true. That the work that needs to go into it. I love that. And I think a lot of friends did the same, like with their art and exercise. They did something.
Yeah.
They had to.
Our mental health.
Yeah,
forget and it doesn't mean that we didn't squander plenty of time. I mean, you have to squander some time to realize, hold up.
It's so true. Oh my God. The number of times that I walked around the corner to the wine shop and squandered some dollars.
I was getting margaritas delivered. Okay. Because apparently that was legal during 2020.
It wasn't. That's right. Oh my God, Salisha, we're going to be the generation to be able to say that. You can tell your kids, oh no, there was a time.
There was a time when delivery margaritas on ice were illegal so that these restaurants could
stay open. Oh my God. What?
We made it through a lot, Dawn.
We made it through a lot. We really did. I was like, yes, the world's going through this together. We're going to be all right coming out. And then we come out and it's like, let's return to normal. Make that money. That part. I was like, oh, wait, hold up. I thought we, okay.
And it felt like overnight. It was like, it went from pause to play overnight. And even though it was play, it was still like my industry, like our industry was still coming back. It was still like, wait, where's my footing in all of
this?
Because suddenly people are just on the train.
Right.
Out and about. It feels like it's real life, but I'm like, am I being left behind? I'm not working yet.
And holding on. Holding on because the pandemic, it took a toll on our trust.
That.
Right?
Yeah.
Can I hold up? Ooh, what am I diving? Oh, wait.
Listen. Like for real, people are like, oh, are you going to be in this show? Are you going to be in this show? And I'm like, I hope so.
Oh my gosh.
I signed the contract in 2020.
Oh my God.
And we were in rehearsals. So you're not going to catch me bragging.
Salisha, that is.
You're not going to catch me being overly excited until we are in the theater, until there is an audience.
Oh my God, that same.
Trust. Same. Let's talk about trust. I'm like,
oh my God.
I've never been in that situation where it's like so excited about all the possibilities and they're just ripped. I'm like, wait a minute.
How many gigs? And there were three ripped in 2020, one by one.
Oh God, you had three ripped. Done.
But you know, and like, so that trickle effect, because you hold out, they were holding out.
Yeah. Yes.
It would have been one of my first Wilson, August Wilson's too.
Oh, oof. Yep. That one hurts a little bit.
Yep. One of them was that. And I was like, oh.
I feel like if you were not in this pandemic, it is hard. It's going to be hard to explain to people who are learning about the pandemic. You know how like some of my friends were born after 9/11. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh my God.
You how old? Wait, you don't, wait, what? So it's going to be like that with the pandemic. Like, oh, you have no idea.
That's so true.
Oh.
Oh my God, I have met those young people and I was like, what? Oh, wait a minute, that's right. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, so there was a incident, you know, rather large.
But the thing is, if we lived through it, and that's a big if, because a lot of people lost their lives.
It's true.
But if you live through it, from what I've heard, and I'd love to hear your take, there was something beautiful waiting on the other side.
Come on. I was actually here for Rent, the tour, 3 days before 9/11.
Oh, and God.
I was asked to be in LA the next day after 9/11, so on the 12th.
Oh.
And 9/11 happened.
What'd you do? Did you get on the plane?
There were no. And actually, on 9/11, I went, I'm not going anywhere. On 9/11, I was back home in Cali, and I went, I'm not going anywhere. And then the industry shut down again. All the planes, remember, planes stopped flying for a period, long period of time.
Yeah, who wanted to fly anyway?
Who would? I was like, I feel
like, I'll drive. I'll see you in 5 days.
Exactly. And then that tour didn't happen.
Oh. Ever. It didn't come back?
Because nobody was able to fly there.
Oh.
So it didn't, it just didn't happen. So I was like, okay, what happens now? And then I had friends who flew back here and started working on the ground to help, like other teachers left their job to fly back here. And I saw, and you know what it's like in California. It's very different here in New York. The diversity here embraces you in a very different way than it does in California.
Speak on it.
And so there was this, I felt like for once, instead of this ceiling that racism is just below, in so many incidents in California, that people were just seeing one another's humanity in California for that time. Yeah. And they weren't looking at me and holding a grown arse Black woman and, I don't need your stuff. And instead of a white woman grabbing her purse when I walk by, she would look me in the eye and say, how are you doing? You know, it was a
right. Ooh. It's so wild that is like a reality sometimes.
That is a reality.
Yes.
At this day and age.
I can't even. It's like, if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Amen to that. Amen. And to have concern from people who traditionally have not even seen you. There was a different experience, you know, for a minute.
Yeah.
So seeing that, I think I needed to see it because I had lost belief in some of us.
Yeah. You know. Wait, so how are you? Okay, let me see exactly how I can ask this. You are incredibly resilient. And you even in the last few minutes, you've talked about getting ready for exciting projects that you're looking forward to, and not all, and not getting to do all of them. But then you continue to work, you continue to persist, you continue to glow.
Oh my God.
Like, life looks like it has treated you well. I'm looking at you and it feel it, what you've, you don't look like what you've been through.
Oh, Salisha, say that.
My okay. God. And I guess, like, because we live on planet Earth, it is almost like a contract that we're signing that you're going to be knocked down at some point.
Right.
So the question is, how do you keep going when you have every reason to lose hope?
Ooh. Come on, come on, ancestors. You better walk and work through my young sister. I completely rely on what I see.
What?
What is given to me. And growing up, Salisha, I have seen and have not run away from those things that I'm afraid of. It's a practice that I really had to step into as I've gotten older, because I did used to go, oh no, I'm not dealing with that. Nope. I grew up with mental illness in my family, witnessing that. Mm-hmm. And the acceptance of that, not running away from it. Watching an older sibling like struggle. I've had a near-death experience. I've seen some, I've witnessed a mentor pass on her deathbed. And Salisha, I went to rehearsal. This is the thing about being a slave to this art too, anyway. But I've seen a lot. And know that regardless of what happens around me, that if I don't keep going, then my legacy ends where I stop.
Oh.
And I mean, whoa. You can stop and still be living. You can give in and give up.
Wow.
But I want to be resilient because I want to meet and be a light for my grandchildren. For my great-grandchildren. I want to be able to still produce something. I love my baby. Oh my gosh, Salisha. You know, I've always been a person who's wanted to have children. My parents had 7. So watching and I'm the middle of them. Salisha, that was the greatest experience in learning resilience and watching 6 other people around you. Just be so the greatest education for me.
And yeah.
I got my undergrad in psychology.
Okay.
My master's in theater production because of watching all of that and how social norms teach us so much about who we are, but what we practice within the norms that may not be ours, our norm, specific norm, is really what's going to can break you. If it's not supposed to be yours, but yet it's been a part of the social norm that's handed down to you, you've got to reckon with that. That's not for me. That's not mine. I love y'all, but that's not mine. Yeah, and for a lifetime, I've witnessed and watched those things. So it starts with family. Witnessing and watching, and I did that a lot because I was a really quiet child.
You were the quiet child.
Shalisa.
I don't believe you at all.
I did not talk until I was 2 years old, and I was an introvert. I'm not kidding, like a fly on the wall. Me and my cousin, my big cousin, we would sit at all big, huge family gatherings just watching all the dynamics.
I was looking through your website and I didn't even think about what that actually meant when you're like, I've been talking since I was 2. In my mind, I was like, oh, she's been talking since she was 2, like since she came out the womb. You're meaning the opposite. You mean you didn't start talking until you were 2.
Until I was 2. My parents took me to the doctor, and the doctor said, she's fine. She'll talk when she has something to say to you.
Oh. And boy, did you have something to say.
I really have. Yeah, and my father was a preacher. Mom still devout. So there was a lot to say because I was like challenging them with questions.
Wow.
About.
And you're like such a storyteller. Sorry, keep going.
Yes, no, that part. Because I read those stories in the Bible too, and that brought up a lot of questions.
Mm.
About what we were doing in our own home. So,
uh-oh. Oh, I mean,
so.
The Bible will do that to you.
We'll be right back right after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Listen, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. I grew up in the church, but during the pandemic, I read that thing cover to cover. And I was like, wait. How come we never talk about this right here?
Right.
Listen.
That's so true. Oh, my gosh. Talisha. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I think you just said something that I really don't give enough credit to, but the church also makes you resilient if you're really attentive. If you're really attentive in it, because it can be the greatest place of nourishment to help lift and build you. And I've learned some of my greatest lessons about, what is God and what isn't.
Oh gosh, this is another whole.
That's a whole
another
conversation.
I can talk on this for hours.
Same, Salisha.
And listen, just to be clear for those who are listening, I am a Jesus freak. I love me some God. Okay.
Amen.
Very much, very deeply a part of my life.
Right.
And it's really interesting how our generation sees church, like the actual, like
the building, right?
The building different than the generation before us.
It's so true.
There's a lot to unpack there.
It's a lot going on. God bless my mom and dad for working the way they did to raise us in a spirit, God-filled home.
Yeah.
But I've never felt like, I said, if God made me, my curiosity is not a sin. So I'm gonna keep asking questions.
I mean, there's nothing wrong in asking questions.
No, not at all. But to have to grow into that.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says something, you know, if your answer is always, because the Bible says so. I was like, let me do some research. let me do some
right.
research on this.
And it's not black and white. Like, I feel like when it comes to God, and you know, people might call it very different things. I always feel like we're putting up these divides, and it's very possible we're talking about the same thing and calling it very different things. But it's not black and white, and it's not so simple. It's actually,
Say that.
God is he's the OG creator. Like, we're artists, Don. We
Come
get
on.
That from God. Like, God's like, oh, I'm bored. What we gonna do? Today, we making heaven and earth. Oh, we need some light up in here. Oh, we need this. Okay, how are we gonna do this? Like, the OG, like.
Come on. The original set designer.
God is the original set designer. Really, though.
Yeah, no, that's real. That's
and
so real.
We are made in his likeness. I don't know. There's so much that we don't know, what I do feel is we are more supported than we could ever imagine.
I so am down with that. And therefore, I look at you. for instance. And Salisha, I really do. I just love you.
I love you too.
And yet I see this, I see the soul of what my our human experience can be with one another. You know what I mean? And that comes from something bigger than me wanting to sit in ignorance, me wanting to sit in anger, me wanting to sit in racism, anything, right? Any of those.
Yeah.
But we also live in a world that is real. There's another realness that does not take into account our humanity. The chase is after something, capitalism, power, whatever that dynamic might be, you know?
So many things that are all, it's all, if you ask me, it's all made up. Everything is freaking made up. Social media is made up. Everything that we care about, we care about because the news tells us to care about it. Somebody made it up. People are making whole companies out of something that they just thought of, and they just made it up and they bring it into the world. And if other people buy into it, it's now a thing.
Oh my God, come on, Octavia Butler. Speak about the sci-fi that we live in. It's true.
Everything is made up. And also that also means these things that we divide ourselves. Oh, you're Republican. Oh, you're Democrat. Oh, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm right. You're wrong. And oh, this is right. That's wrong. Like, it's all at the core of it.
Yeah.
What does it look like when we're not in these skin and bones?
Oh, come on. Come on.
What are we concerned about who you voted for?
Nobody care about that.
How much money you have?
Don't know.
What borough you lived in?
Nope. Like, these things still
can matter on this planet, but do they really matter?
Right. Oh my God. And you matter, right? I look at you and I look and go, soul, you matter. You matter.
Your heart, the love you put out.
That's right.
The light.
Thank you. Salisha, I went to, oh my God. Have you made the trip to Africa yet?
No, I want to go so bad. I wanted to go on the honeymoon.
Oh my God.
We went to Costa Rica. It's fine.
Oh my God.
But I wanted to go to Africa.
I want to go to Costa Rica too, by the way.
Yeah.
But going.
The monkeys were on our porch. Anyway.
Were you out there spraying them?
Yeah, I was like, somebody going to help me or. Anyway, go. Talk about Africa.
When you talk about the soul, there in Senegal, I actually like did my mom's DNA, and so I wanted to visit some of the places she was from. So I went to Morocco and Senegal. She's got a lot of West African in her.
Cool.
And I went to two of the four that I wanted to stop in. There's something called Terenga in West Africa, specifically in Senegal. Salisha. I wasn't ready. Yeah. I was like, I was born in Berkeley, I'm peace and love, you know. I'm still so Western.
Oh.
God. I was so heavily struck by how Western I am when I arrived there, that all the food that this country, you know, in film and television and books and history, historical books, has how it has gotten in me. And I thought I was woke.
Whoa. Tell me some more.
Walking through one village, and we walked from village to village. I was on the ground. I got in collectives, I got in taxis, water taxis with people, goats, you know. Oh. Just, I did it. I didn't stay in luxurious hotels. We stayed in campements. We did it the way that I felt was humane. We walked with backpacks.
Wow.
We got in collectives. And that scared me. And like I said, I run towards things that scare me.
Whoa.
Men walking from village to village with huge machetes and rifles. See how that made you feel?
Yeah, a little bit.
who helped me walk across water so that I wouldn't ruin my shoes.
Whoa.
Who whacked the weeds away so that I had a path.
Oh.
Who said, don't go this way, go this way. Who young men who would say, oh my gosh, Celicia, we would have two pair of shoes on the backpack, one tennis shoes and one like water shoes. It is impolite to walk through a village where one has no shoes and you've got a pair on your feet
and a pair
hanging off of your backpack.
Oh.
So we put the shoes away, just like the love. And then me holding onto a bag, oh, like I'm still in, like I'm still in Oakland, or I'm in some bad area in New York, me holding onto my purse like it's my life. And a young, beautiful, and I won't say, he didn't live with his family, he lived with a bunch of other young boys, and they had gathered their own home on the beach. They fished together and took care of one another. He said, you don't have to do that here. We don't want your things, we want you here. And I was like, all right, wait a minute, hold up. Liz, you think you woke, you better open your eyes and really receive what's coming towards you.
Oh.
Hey, welcome sister, welcome home Mama Africa, welcome home, all the time. It was just the
greatest. If I heard that, I don't know if I would wanna leave. Welcome home.
In Morocco, in Senegal, women walking up, and one woman looked just like my mom in Morocco. And she came up and grabbed my face and said, you are Moroccan, in French. You are Moroccan, tu es Moroccan. And I was like, oh, je désolé, je suis l'Américain. And she said, no, you are Moroccan. You weren't born here, you are Moroccan. And I was like, I didn't cry the entire time I was there. And the minute I landed in Spain, I woke up the next morning and literally I woke up, Celicia, and my eyes just poured out from that entire experience. It was so it made me more buoyant, you know?
Yes.
It buoyed me up. Just who we are and who we can be for one another is, we should be able to recognize within each other. And Africa reminded me of that.
I'm like, to say I want to go is such an understatement, but also like, I don't even know where to begin.
Oh my God.
Like, do I just pick a country? Do I pick an Airbnb? Are there huts on Airbnb? I don't even know. I have no idea. They're not on Groupon. Go to Africa. Like, I don't.
When you're ready, just say so. If it's Senegal or Morocco, now we have family there. I kid you not.
That is wild.
Like, it's that wild. It's that wild. Oh my God.
Okay. Here's the thing. I have asked you zero questions from my list of questions.
Oh no, are you kidding?
We are past time. I not well asked you like one question about 1776.
Like, no, you did ask one question about 1776.
Literally, one maybe. Like, Dawn, you are so just like a wealth of like, you remind me of what matters. You feel like, you remind me of humanity, of love, of home. Of possibilities. You are resilience. You are love. Like, and I There is so many other things to talk about.
Oh my God, like, Felicia, there's so many other things. It doesn't have to be on the podcast, but I will come back. But we need to get together
too. But like, we need to actually just go get coffee.
And I think it's got to be like a couch date. I don't know if it could be coffee because they
maybe it's a wine night in one of our homes.
That's exactly what it is.
I'll kick Andrew out for the evening, or I'll come to you. Like, let's freaking go. Like, we'll order some food.
Done and done. And reciprocity, what everything that you have just said is that what I experience with you. And I'll also throw in the word healer. Mm. Healer. Because of the nature of how Black hair has been perceived and the messages that women, Black women, have heard, your podcast, your voice on this matter, your actions with your own hair is so significant in the journey that we have to walk in. It's so important to hear, be seen, and understand the significance and necessity of us being able to show our crowns and share our crowns. So I'm grateful for you. Grateful, so grateful.
Oh my God. I love you so much.
I love you.
How can people find you or follow you?
So I'm Dawn LT, Dawn Lit, Dawn LT on Instagram, on IG. I have a website that I need to pay attention to. I need to love on that. I really do. The pandemic took me out. So I'll jump back on that. But Dawn LT is really where you can find me, and Dawn L Troop on Facebook, for all you old folks, Facebook. but yeah, I'm not on the Twitter, the tweets.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole on Twitter. I was like, literally, I'm like, I know Twitter is an asshole on Twitter, but like.
Yeah, no thanks.
It's not for me.
And I'm glad, because now, whoa.
No, I feel that. Okay, I love you so much. If y'all are listening, this is Dawn Troop, y'all. She is in 1776 until January
8th
in New York City on 42nd Street at American Airlines Theater on Broadway.
On Broadway. You magnificent being, I love you dearly.
I love you so much.
Give my love to Andrew as well.
I will.
Bye, my love.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com.